radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Smith wins the battle. 10-pitch at bat. He takes Colin Ray deep. Second home run in as many nights against the team that drafted him in the first round.
I saw that home run live. It was the one brief moment of enjoyment that most Astros fans in the section that I watched Saturday's game had, because the insufferable Cubs fan wearing the Crow Armstrong jersey in front of me, which, by the way, I did not know that was a player. I just assumed this was a guy who had a hyphenated last name because he sucked. Nothing against those people with that. I was just making assumptions. That was awesome because he was crestfallen when he saw Cam Smith give the Astros a brief 2-1 lead on Saturday. They lose that game, but they do take 2 of 3 from the Cubs. They won 5 of 6 on a 6-game homestand against first-place teams in the NL Central, and they did it in spite of a run differential of 0. A lot of that is Lance McCullers' fault and the Astros' fault for putting Lance McCullers out there on Saturday. I've noticed something over the last 24 hours or so, and I don't like it. And yes, you know me, I'm the greatest baseball mind in the city of Houston. I understand this sport on a level that very few people could possibly comprehend. You know it, I know it, but I do not get why people are disrespecting Hunter Brown the way that they are. I mean, wasn't it just Thursday where people were pointing at Hunter Brown, his major league best ERA, the 4th best start to a season in team history, a club that includes Nolan Ryan, Roger Clemens, Justin Verlander? It was just Thursday where we're all like, yeah, American League Cy Young Award winner. Yeah, should start the All-Star game. But then all of a sudden, something happened. I guess it happened yesterday, because I just saw a bunch of posts on the internet about someone that I've never heard of before. Couple of posts. First, a headline in The Athletic. Turk Skobel will not cede his Cy Young throne easily in a crowded AL field. There's a Turk Skobel. I saw this from Bob Nightingale as well. Bob Nightingale covers baseball for the USA Today. Skobel, the greatest pitcher in the game today. Huh? Putting on a show tonight. First off, I thought everyone thought it was Paul Skeens, but now this Skobel-a-doo-doo. He's the best pitcher in the game today. He throws 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. And then I saw this, and this was perhaps the biggest betrayal of all. Occasional substitute here at the ESPN 97.5, 92.5 family, also on the ESPN app. Will Kunkel, posted this. The Cy Young is not decided in June, but Truscoball is sure as hell the leader in the clubhouse. Okay, now, you guys all know I'm the greatest baseball mind here in town. Tip my hat as I said it. It's a burden. It's a burden I must deal with. So people are always asking me. But, guys, this isn't a real person. It's not. That's not a real player. It's not. I've never heard of him before. No idea what he's done. I can't believe that we are, after Thursday, Hunter Brown is awesome. I can't believe we are already moving on to Truscoball. Or whatever the hell.
Blasphemy!
Yeah, blasphemy! Blasphemy! We're already on to Truscoball. And I don't like that kind of thing, okay? Truscoball. The F is this. My inability to pronounce his very foreign-seeming name is troubling me. And I don't know, has IC looked into it? I'm just saying, because Hunter Brown should be the American League Cy Young Award winner. In fact, I think he's won it already, Sean.
Is this MLB's first AI pitcher?
Yeah. Is this a real person?
Yeah. Did it's like somebody... AI try to make a pitcher and they named it Truscoball?
Yeah. This looks like this person, and again, I'm not convinced he's real. This person is working with a name that looks like somebody lazily put together a password for their Wi-Fi. Okay? He just went across the row. Like ASDFGHJKL. Like that. That's him. So anyway, I don't know who this guy is. Never heard of him before. He's not real. And how is Hunter Brown all of a sudden after Thursday being overlooked in the Cy Young conversation?
Paul, I actually just looked this guy up.
Okay.
He does at least appear to be a real person.
He's real.
Yeah. And actually, he pitched against the Astros in last year's playoffs.
Wait, what?
Yeah, 6 innings, 4 hits, 0 earned runs.
What?
6 strikeouts, no
walks. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. And the Astros made the playoffs last year?
Yeah, yeah, they got dust busted.
I wiped that out. They got dust busted?
Yeah. Paul, they have this thing called the 2-game or the best of 3 wild card series.
Oh.
The Astros were in that
for
2 days.
You know what? I blacked out because I called for a dust busting and it didn't happen. And I just pretended it didn't happen.
They lost 2 mid-afternoon games.
This guy pitched. Yeah, it was a mid-afternoon game. I couldn't watch it. Couldn't get into the stadium on time. You know?
You missed probably the first inning of this guy. When they introduced him. That's why you don't know who he is.
On a serious note, now that we've pulled off a 10-minute troll job... On a serious note, it's weird that a couple of people are saying, like, it's consensus. I don't think Hunter Brown is consensus AL Cy Young favorite right now, but I would imagine that if there were a popular vote, it should be most of the votes towards him, unless we are...
Towards Scooble?
No, towards Brown. I say it from this perspective. I feel like right now, any end-of-season award that the Tigers get is going to have a lot to do with not just this year, but the end of last year.
Yeah, that they're a team on the... It's a little bit of how normally the NFL Coach of the Year goes to, where it's just like, hey, you're a team that we had at winning 5 games and you ended up making a wild card game. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You are the Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I think that there is a little bit going...
Hinch is definitely going to get that treatment.
Who?
AJ Hinch is definitely going to get that treatment as manager of the year in the American League. That's a lock. If there's money to put down right now, put it on AJ Hinch winning manager of the year.
He's got to be the
front runner,
for at least for the AL. I think that this is just something where he is the guy that MLB is kind of, or the MLB media is kind of rallying behind. And listen, he had a great start yesterday.
13 strikeouts. Yeah, I mean,
13
really
strikeouts, 1 hit. Like,
yeah.
Listen, I'll take that, but. I mean, his start before on Tuesday against the Athletics, 6 innings, 4 earned runs. Like, he's not, like, on some crazy streak. He's having a very good season, but it's not some unheard of, you know, oh, my God. That's I think, where I'm at, where I get Will Kunkel did a little bit of, you know, hey, it's still June, whatever. But I don't see him as a runaway favorite for this award. I think Hunter Brown is, like, I think you have to mention them both. I think it is a battle. It is Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen level stuff.
Okay.
I think it's, if you're going to, again, if you're going to track this thing before the All-Star break, like, that's how you need to talk about it, in my eyes, because I think that Hunter Brown's been right there with them basically all season long.
Paul Skeens, I think, is the best pitcher in baseball. I say that basically as somebody who probably is paying more attention to the fact that his girlfriend is the strongest and most powerful woman of them all in Livy Dunn. But that's what I was told, is that he's the best pitcher in baseball. Now people are saying Tarik Skubal is also the best pitcher in baseball. And I don't know. There's too many best pitchers in baseball. Back-to-back Cy Youngs have happened before. Skubal has won it this past season for the Tigers. The last time it happened, and I believe these are both National League cases, was Jacob deGrom with the Mets in 2018 and 2019. Before that, Max Scherzer won it 2016 and 2017. So I guess we had 4 years in a row where it was just two guys winning the National League Cy Young. So it could happen. But I would imagine that there will be a strong push made for Hunter Brown. And I'm just not calling anyone definitively better than Brown and what we've seen from Brown over the last year, even if Skubal's already been established and put himself on that shelf to this point. You know, like I think Hunter Brown's right up there with anybody in the game, including Skubal, who has been awesome. I know who he is. I'm effing around. I think Brown's right there, though.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And it is funny, the best pitcher in baseball. It's just like whoever we're talking about at the moment who's currently has an ERA of like under 2.5, like that's the best pitcher in baseball until the end of the sentence. And then I talk about Paul Skeens, and now he's the best pitcher in baseball. I think that Skubal has a little bit of – does he have more, funny enough, name recognition after we started the segment? I guess just from winning last year's Cy Young – or
yes.
Hunter Brown. Like, we noticed that Hunter Brown after June was just a different guy last season.
Is a new commodity, and Skubal
wasn't on the 2022 Astros. Like, right. So, you know, doesn't have a ton of deep playoff starts. Like, nationally, Hunter Brown, I feel like, is a little bit more under the radar. They don't know who he is, but just, like, he's not thought of as
the top guy.
The best pitcher in baseball.
Right. He has a strong argument this year, and that is something to what you said, he'll have to overcome. Good news for Hunter Brown is Skubal's in Detroit. He's in Detroit. I this year for Detroit, fun story. Everyone's excited about it. So that also might help him get his back-to-back Cy Youngs.
It's not like a glamour team. If he's on the Yankees, it's already over.
Yeah.
Mail him the trophy.
You could have Tommy John surgery tomorrow and it would be over.
Yeah. Mets, I mean, Cubs, they're just in town.
Yeah.
Phillies. Like, there are some teams where it's just, like, they are more, I don't know, nationally covered, nationally respected. The Tigers, so far, aren't at that level. I don't even think the Astros are really on that level. I think they're nationally known, but, like, they're not doing, like, SportsCenter segments on what's going on with the Astros the same way they do with, like, the Yankees and the Dodgers and Phillies.
They overlook them every single year going into the season.
I forgot, 3 months ago, this was the Rangers division to lose.
Right, and I mean, when they won the World Series, top 10 storylines going into the year, like the Astros weren't even one of them. It's like, wait, what? It's bizarre. Sean Mavis is behind the glass and Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're going to bring in Jeremy Booth at 1:30 to talk a little more about the Houston Astros. Up next, it is the 10-minute drill. We continue our countdown to the start of the NFL season. We are 66 days away. That's the Satan number. We'll talk about what's going on in the football world next. Stay put.
The Killer Bees, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6.
Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket, Blankers.
When I got the news and saw what they gave up, I'm like, how could this not be a win for the Houston Rockets?
This played out exactly like I wanted it to from a pipe dream scenario. Get Kevin Durant on pennies on the dollar.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant.
66 days away from the start of the NFL season.
Execute order 66.
You know, before we talk about football, and not a lot, before we talk about football, just got to say, Jedi, like, how did you let that one slip through the cracks? I mean, we're dumping on the Astros medical staff and their inability to diagnose injuries right away because Jeremy Pena has a small fracture in one of the ribs on his left side and has been placed on the 10-day IL, and he's probably going to miss 2 months, honestly, with the way things go with the Astros. But Jedi, you're supposed to be clairvoyant. You really? You can't detect one Sith Lord? One?
Yeah, too little, too late. They noticed, but it was after they had already executed the order.
Yoda's a fraud, and Execute Order 66 led to all the Jedi's getting taken out. At least Mace Windu went out fighting. Mace Windu was there pretty quick, acted on it. Yoda?
Also had a win before it turned into a 2-on-1.
Right. Right. Anakin, help me, I'm weak. Best 66 is in NFL history. Larry Little, Alan Faneca, and Ray Nischke. I know Alan Faneca played for the Steelers. And speaking of the Steelers, this is the big news in the NFL today. It's very rare that you see a player for player, let alone player for players trade. But the Steelers made two moves with the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins traded Jalen Ramsey straight up to Pittsburgh for safety Minka Fitzpatrick. Ramsey will get a $1.5 million raise. The Steelers also got from the Dolphins Jonnu Smith, who's coming off of a career year statistically, for a late-round swap. So the Steelers, a little more of a threat now, if you look at them. But once again, we are going to entirely base what happens this season on Aaron Rodgers. I will give him credit for being aggressive. They got DK Metcalf this offseason as well. I would not consider this a lock for the Texans if they played the Steelers, just given how good defensively Pittsburgh can be. But Pittsburgh definitely got a little bit better. I don't think Jalen Ramsey's the guy he used to be, but he's still a damn good corner. And on a team, the Texans, that right now has one proven wide receiver at the moment. We'll see what Jaden Higgins do and what Jalen Noel does and if Tank Dell's back, this pretty good guy to have playing cornerback against one of the biggest and most physical wide receivers in the NFL, and Nico Collins.
Yeah, and they also got Joey Porter Jr. on the other side. So they are rounding into a nice defensive backfield. Now, they did give up Minka Fitzpatrick to do so, so maybe they're just rounding into a good safety unit or a good corner unit and trading from the safety. But I was a little surprised that it was 1-for-1. I would have thought that the Dolphins would have had, or the Steelers rather, would have, or no, the Dolphins would have had a kick in more to get this trade.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's like, I would rather have Fitzpatrick. He's also younger.
I think at this point, I would.
They're about the same level.
I'm curious as to how the Dolphins look at themselves in the mirror right now, because this move does scream rebuild. And
it does. It feels like one's coming for sure.
Right.
Like this might be the first couple pieces to what happens next offseason.
This is the, I guess, interesting dynamic for the Steelers right now after this trade's been made. This is a report from ESPN. Sources, teams mull possible trade offers for Steelers TJ Watt. In recent weeks, multiple teams have been discussing whether they can trade for TJ Watt. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter, what a report this is, huh?
Teams are thinking about trading for like a top 10 edge rusher in the league.
It doesn't even seem like they're thinking about making an offer. It's like,
is he available?
Can we trade for him? Yeah. Like, that's what the report is. Can we trade for him? Again, this is late June, early July, NFL stories.
And I'm sure there's some noise about him. Like, I don't know if he was at minicamp or whatever.
He was not at minicamp, which is why the noise is happening.
Yeah, so we'll see. If I'm the Steelers, I just kind of pay them, because I feel like every year we get the, here's what the Steelers defense looks like when TJ Watt's on the field. Here's what they look like when he's off the field, and it's a good defense to a bad defense. So I try to get the deal done. Obviously, it probably depends on the price. He's a guy who does miss a lot of time, so we have a big sample size of what it's like without him. But yeah, the Steelers offseason, very strange. They've kind of been coming and going with everything that they make. It's, hey, we're getting DK Metcalf, we're trading away Pickett, We're getting Jalen Ramsey. We're trading away Fitzpatrick. So they're different. I don't know how much better they are. I think the only clear improvement that they had is at quarterback.
I think they are clearly better. It's a tough division that they're in. It's just interesting. They've never been this noisy in an offseason. This is a lot more like a traditional Dolphins or Commanders or insert team that has name brand recognition but generally doesn't succeed because they try to go all in during the offseason, the Jets. I will say Pittsburgh is one of those teams where you generally trust the process just given their entire history. For the Steelers part on TJ Watt, they are insisting that he's sticking around. They are.
I would insist the same.
I would as well. If I'm TJ Watt, do I want to leave? Do I want to leave the Steelers? I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's just a whoever will pay me like a top five defensive end or, you know, edge rusher. I think that's what he's going for, but it is, I don't know. It is something where from both sides, it seems like a deal makes more sense than to break this thing up.
I'm with you there. We'll see what happens. 66 days away from the NFL season kicking off with the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles, September 4th. 713-780-3776 to call into text in YouTube at ESPN Houston and Twitch at ESPN 975. Before we get to Jeremy Booth and to give him a little bit of time to get in here, Sean, we need to have a discussion. Let's fade the music out. This is something I saw yesterday, and I'm a little bit concerned about this, if not bummed out. We've never questioned the artistic direction of the embodiment of the arts. A movie franchise that has truly changed the way film is done. That's built new roads.
Yeah. Destroyed a lot of roads, but built new ones
Built new roads as to how to tell a story.
Yeah.
And specifically a story about the most important thing there is. A little thing that we like to call family. But this is a bridge too far by one of the most creative people that's ever lived. You know, Michelangelo.
Da Vinci.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, Elon Musk, Albert Einstein, everyone. And, of course, Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel says that the final Fast and Furious movie will have Paul Walker's character Brian back in it. By the way, Paul Walker's dead. He's been dead for a bit.
Died in, like, 2014.
It's been 11 years. It was very cool in Furious 7, the way that they sent off Paul Walker's character and paid tribute to Paul Walker. However, in the franchise, technically, Brian is still alive. You just haven't seen him. He's there in spirit.
He's the only guy who ever got to retire.
Right.
There's people that have actually died and come back.
Yes.
But Brian O'Connor gets to, like, hey, he's taking care of the kids this weekend.
There was a clip at the end of one of these movies where Brian's car drives up to the family dinner last. And you're like, oh, Brian, let's go. And I mean, listen, for anyone who's watched Fast and Furious, you got to watch it in theater so you can stand up and get unnaturally excited like I did.
Yeah.
Watching it with Sean when I saw that The Rock was going to be back in the next one. I didn't really care as much when Gal Gadot came back up. But listen, even if this is a franchise where there have been cars taking out submarines, cars in space, cars driving through multiple skyscrapers.
Yeah, there's been death that turns into amnesia. There's been, actually, this movie takes place after this other movie. That's why Han gets to die.
This is too far. This is too far, too furious. Okay?
How far is too far?
How far is too far? This. I can't say I'm surprised, though.
I can't say I'm surprised. I honestly, there's a scene in Fast X where I thought for sure it was the one where, like, the house is getting raided, basically, and one of the guys in the suits where you can't see their face is saving them. And I was like, oh, is this Paul Walker? Is he going to take off the mask and it's Paul Walker? It was John Cena instead. But yeah, no, can't say I'm surprised. I hope that they do it with dignity.
Well, I hope that too. We know what this franchise
is.
I hope the
Walker estate gets all the money that they're promised.
I mean, I hope for that. I also hope that they do it with dignity. Is it possible that them doing it without dignity is better?
I hope that it's just like the last scene of the movie as like a send-off kind of thing. I don't hope that it's like, we're putting together a team. There's only one guy I trust.
For sickos like you and me,
Paul Walker.
For sickos like you and me, I mean, it might be better.
Either way, I mean, I'm buckled in for whatever. Yeah. I got the harness on. I'm ready to drive this thing off a exploding dam that causes a flood. I'm ready.
Junior Bronco says a Dom Toretto Avengers crossover is eventually happening. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and I hope that that's should, where they bring honestly, back Paul they, Walker.
How do you save the Jurassic Park franchise? Sprinkle a little Fast and Furious on that. These are the worst dinos we know, so we called the only guy that can fix it, Dominic Toretto.
He's driving a car.
Yeah, wrangling dinos. Come on. No offense to Scarlett Johansson, but I'd rather see that movie.
There's a subplot where Vin Diesel finds out that he's descended from a dinosaur. It's a family.
My dad died in the original. My dad was the lawyer in the first movie. He died on the toilet.
Billions of years ago, my father and his brother, who one of them ended up being a mammal, the other one ended up being a reptile. It was crazy. All right, we're done.
Tyrese tries to smuggle one back home in his pocket.
Yeah. Ejecto Sika. Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Thank you for letting us self-indulge with a little Fast and Furious. Our Astros front office insider, Jeremy Booth, will join us in a moment. We'll talk about the latest ridiculous Astros injury update with Jeremy Pena having a small fracture in his rib and this incredible homestand that the Astros just pulled off. How sustainable is all of this, especially with Pena's availability in question? We'll discuss. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros took 2 of 3 from the Chicago Cubs over the weekend. They are now 6.5 games up in the American League West, but we did have some rather frustrating news for the Astros coming out of the weekend. On Friday, Jeremy Pena was hit by a pitch. He stayed in the game. He had one more at bat, but he was eventually pulled for Mauricio Dubon. Saturday, Joe Espada emphatically said that Pena does not have a broken rib, but also said that we are going to do everything in our power to keep Pena out of Saturday's game. The game went away where there was no chance of the Astros using Jeremy Pena in a pinch hit situation because it got away from them after Lance McCullers got shelled. But Pena did not play yesterday, which led many to speculate, all right, what the hell's going down? The Astros put out a press release at about 11:45 this afternoon, and a little more context from Julia Morales of the Space City Home Network here. Jeremy Pena has a small fracture in one of the ribs on his left side and has been placed on the 10-day injured list. Astros announced initial x-rays taken on Friday night, did not reveal a fracture, but additional imaging was done Sunday afternoon, and an MRI and CT scan revealed a small fracture. I am not a doctor, though I am from a house of a learned doctor, okay? And I understand that it could have taken the Astros a little bit of time to figure out what pain he was dealing with. Maybe now, going forward, whenever your player gets hurt, you do an x-ray And if the x-ray is negative, you do the MRI and the CT scan right afterwards, because I get that there can be some fractures that are too difficult to see on the x-ray side of things. No harm, no foul. They did not put Jeremy Peña back out there and risk further injury on Saturday. But 10-day injured list, I do not think he's going to be gone for just 10 days. I don't. I hope I'm wrong, especially with how good Peña's been. I mean, he's an MVP candidate. But it's a rib injury. These things take time to heal. By the way, they're also very painful injuries. Very painful. You know, there's generally bruising on top of the actual fracture that's going to make it tough to breathe, to cough, to laugh, to sit in certain situations. You can't lie on your tum-tum anymore, probably. So a lot of things going on here on the Jeremy Peña front. And I'm expecting that he will be out for a while. And this is semi-consistent with the Astros and a track record of initial diagnosis that end up being wrong. This one did not hurt them in any way, but last year with Kyle Tucker and the deep bruise of a shin bone that actually was a fracture, Yordan Alvarez with the muscle strain in his hand that ends up being a small fracture. At the very least, their x-ray machines seem like they suck and upgrade them. At the worst, they seem like incompetent buffoons.
I will say, at least the time frame is getting smaller of the, you know, this definitely isn't a fracture. And then, oh, actually it is a fracture. Never mind. You know, from Kyle Tucker, where it was 3 months of them saying it wasn't a fracture until Kyle Tucker himself got to say it was, in fact, a fracture, to like the month that it took for Yordan to be properly diagnosed publicly.
There's a lot.
And now this one was only a weekend. It only took a couple days to get eventually to the right diagnosis.
Okay. So there you go. And joining us right now in studio, the man, the myth, the legend, our Houston Astros front office insider, Jeremy Booth. Yeah, just know that microphone to your right. Yep, pull that over there. Right. Put it in front of your face so we can hear you.
You know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, we want to be able to hear you. So we were talking about the most recent Astros injury update, which are comical at this point.
And, are they? Are they telling us the truth?
Well, at the very least, they didn't put Jeremy Peña out there with a small fracture in his ribs on Saturday or Sunday. So we've at least got that going. But I do now wonder, Jeremy, with how Peña has looked with the lineup, especially at the top, how this offense is going to score runs in the near future.
I don't have my hat today. You know,
your hard hat for the lineup construction?
Yeah, I don't have my lineup construction hat. I don't – well, can McCullers hit?
Didn't take long for that. Well, McCullers got hit. McCullers got hit up. That was a drive-by on Saturday. I witnessed that in person.
It was ugly. It was painful.
You said that NL Central is his daddy.
Well –
he's definitely correct on that front this year.
Is it just them? Is it
this year? It's really just been the NL Central.
I'm sorry. I need to. All right. So I Hosey's going to have to move up back in the top of the spot.
Altuve's leadoff now.
Right. And so now you really got to get Yordan back. You're going to have to get McCormick back. You're going to have to find a way to deal from the big league roster to get something back. And the reason why is only because of now your depth is exposed, right? We got into a third of the season, you know, a review I did for us. And it was like, you know, look, the Astros needed started pitching. Okay. That's the master of the obvious. They needed an outfielder with depth or with a veteran outfield presence. They're addressing that or trying to. And Cam Smith has come on a lot, so it helps now, but doesn't necessarily win, put him over the top. And, you know, you need to address a lineup construction and some depth. And all those things are now being tested, every single one of them. So with Peña is playing every day, it's a different club. We all know that. With Peña is playing at the top of the order, it's a really different club. You have to trade from the big league roster if you think you have a chance to win now, and they clearly do, certainly in the West, you're going to have to trade from the big league roster to get something back if Peña is out for a while. Bryce Matthews just got named to the Futures game. You may have seen
I saw that. An 11-game hitting streak at the whatever level he's at right now. I am curious as to if he is the corresponding move to come, just given that Dana Brown's always been so aggressive putting young players up there.
You know,
too early?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. And I think that you let him have that experience in a couple of weeks at the Futures game and let that play through, see how he handles being in that environment, and then let's go, right? And this is a guy who a lot of Astros Nation, they maligned Dana and they maligned the scouting department. And Gavin Dickey, who's now the director of player development, and I think assistant GM is official title, he was very instrumental in that pick. And they really tore them up. I remember being in Seattle and that pick comes off the board and people were upset. I was like, that's a great pick. College performer, upside, athletic, back of the first round. And you're seeing it show up a little bit now. We talk about his splits. They're not great. Splits aren't great away from Sugar Land, right? Or they're good away from Sugar Land, not great in Sugar Land, whichever way it is. It's one of the other.
That's hottest balls out there.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't blame him. That's the ballpark. They need to build a roof.
But he's athletic and he can play. He probably plays second base. And so I don't know if he's the corresponding move with what Hosey's doing and what they're going to do with ultimately Dubon, where he fits in now this situation. I mean, who's going to play short? What are they running out there to play short?
Good question. At this moment in time,
they don't know. Can Dubon handle it? Because he might be the only guy left.
I think he is the only guy left at this moment in time.
So then you've got Dubon and Altuve. You got Walker and Paredes.
Right.
So that's your four. Your outfield's now really thin because you have no other option to put anybody else out there. You got Cam Smith. Jake Myers, how's he doing, by the way?
He's been awesome.
That's good. So Jake Myers in center field. And who's playing left? I've been in the Dominican, as you guys well know, out of the country.
Yeah.
But Jamaica, who I wanted Dominican, though.
I mean, we've seen a variety of different people playing out in left field. I believe on Saturday when I went to the game, it was Cooper Hummel. And, you've seen guys out there, and you're kind of baffled that this team continues to win and has a 6.5 game lead in the American League West and is the third best team in all of baseball with some of the guys that they're throwing out there.
Yeah, I think you got to look at signing potentially in that scenario, Jason Hayward back, somebody who's on the scrap heap or finding a trade.
One of the trade targets, supposedly, Jeremy, per Bob Nightingale, is Orioles center fielder Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, I know Cedric pretty well as a player, I should say. Peripherally as a person. And look, he's pretty good. He's a good player. He's been an all-star. But that's trading off the big league roster, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the Orioles and you're Mike Elias and the crew out there, you cannot continue to run out teams that don't make – even though they're not doing very well right now, you have to have something that's going to help you win next year, right? Is that a Jake Myers? Probably not now, not for Cedric Mullins, okay?
I would think of all their guys, and Jeremy Booth, our Houston Astros front office insider, is with us right now. I would think that Chaz McCormick, of all the guys on the roster, mainly because when this team is fully healthy, it doesn't feel like he has had much of a place to be.
Yeah, but they know that too.
Yeah.
Right? They know that too. It's great for the Astros, but they know that too.
Other teams.
Yeah, I mean, okay. And Mike and the Mariners or anybody who's really trade heavy. Some clubs are trade active, right? I mean, Luno and Elias's front offices were very trade active and waiver wire and scrap heap and any number of things to help because they thought their development would reinvigorate guys. And the Mariners are no different. You say that because the places that we match up for McCormick are going to know that they don't have to give much up for him. And I don't think I'm giving up Cedric Mullins, who is a guy that fits in a winning club. Doesn't fit necessarily in Baltimore, certainly with maybe contractual demands or extensions or overall value coming up, but certainly fits in Houston. I want a prospect and I want a big leaguer. And I mean a real prospect and a big leaguer because I need somebody to back up another player I may not be able to sign back. I need some help to go win in the East next year. The Orioles in the East are struggling. Not just overall, but really in that division.
Yeah, it's weird to see the Orioles' record relative to the rest of it because a lot of people like them. And the last couple of seasons, they have been everyone's little sneaky dark horse team. And yeah, it's been rough for them. There's a part of me that does think eventually they wake up and get back to the thick of the pack, at least in the American League East.
You got half the year left.
Because you got the Rays, how their weird second half schedule where they're playing a lot of games that are on the road because they wanted to play all their first half games in that outdoor ballpark since there's all those thunderstorms in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, because that's fun. Yeah, Florida rain never happens.
No, it's like every day.
You made a point last night. The point last night was strength of schedule, basically.
We were on KHOU last night.
Yeah, strength of schedule, basically, right? And so
yes.
With that in mind, it applies the other way, too. Guys get beat up. Guys have easy pathways, right? And so the Orioles, they have to make a decision. I would say they punted. Mike's a punter. Like he's,
Mike Elias, who runs
fair catch. Okay. He's a punter. So he's going to look at what they've got here, and he's going to try to find guys across the league that makes sense to get the most back to win next year. He also has now a duty with this new ownership group, believe it or not, to show them he can do it with his model. Mm-hmm. His model is cost effective. Doesn't matter if they're freaking Baltimore. Mike doesn't like to spend money. Okay, so it's going to be cost effective. That said, Mullins may not fit for them, and some cost effective young assets here may. What that looks like, I don't know. If I'm him, I'm asking for Myers. And then I'm turning around, and if I'm Dane, I'm saying no, because that's not enough right now with that, my outfield depth as it is. Even if Myers becomes my three or four guy, and I don't believe in him for next year, maybe Mullins plays left. I got to figure out a way to get those guys out there every day.
The way you're laying it out, because it does feel like you need to have Myers the rest of this year, it feels like they're going to have to throw either some other random dude that we've never heard of before out there, like a Cooper Hummel.
Sure.
Or it's going to be Bryce Matthews, maybe even ahead of schedule. Because, look, for whatever reason, all these guys that keep on getting thrown into the fire, they have cooked. And, I mean, shoot, like Cam Smith, especially this weekend. And Cam Smith this weekend looked so damn confident, especially that first home run that he hit on Friday, where right. he knew it was gone immediately. Right. And he gets the home run in the 10-pitch at-bat on Saturday as well. Now, Cam Smith is very different than I would imagine anyone else that they're throwing out there right out of the chute, but I think you're in a spot right now where you're going to have to just keep on throwing darts at the wall. And for whatever reason, Dana Brown, who is MacGyvering the bleep out of this team, he just keeps on hitting the 20 or the bullseye every single time he tosses it.
He knows internally what they have. If I'm a club with a target using Mullins only, right, which makes sense. Okay, usually that's not the guy. Mm-hmm. So the first guy you hear, usually not the guy, right? But let's just say Mullins is the guy. You got to give up something you don't want to give up. You just don't want to give it up because
it almost makes me wonder if they even make a trade. Because I mean, can you afford to give up anything you don't want to give up right now? If you're the Astros,
you cannot. You want to avoid trading off the big league roster. Now, this is where it gets real uncomfortable. And guys, people watching this and listening to it, I am certainly not saying these guys are trade targets or trade for the options for the Astros, because they're not. But Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena will get you whatever you want. And I'm saying that because of the Boris guys, right? And so they're not going to get you whatever they want. But yep. You're not trading that. You're not doing it.
Not yet.
If you start working around the horn of what the Astros have, if you're the Baltimore Orioles, again, you have to compete. And you have to show you can win the division and get into the postseason next year. You got to do it in 26. Or Mike's out. Okay, so you got to do it in 26. So when it comes to that, look around the Astros and tell me who you give up that you're comfortable with giving up that the Orioles will take back for an all-star.
I see no one.
Nobody. Yeah. So then that's not a fit, right? So then you look in your system. Do you have Bryce Matthews? Do you have DeCenzo? Pick somebody, right? The arm that's coming up, which you don't want to trade any pitching, because as good as these guys are when they get to the big leagues, they break. They all break, some of them 3 years, and come back and think they can start again. Name McCullers. But back
there
to
there we go. I was waiting for the next one. He was awful on Saturday, so I mean, you want to do a little dance, you can.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. It just does. So when you're back to when you're looking around that, and you've got five or six high ceiling guys in the organization, if I'm Mike Elias, I'm saying I got something I know you need. Like you need it. The entire league knows you need it. Yeah. What are you going to give me? Jazz McCormick. Lance McCullers. Jose Urquidy. I know he's not even here. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You start going down the line, and it's just like, no, I'll give you all three of those guys. Yeah, still no. Like, you have to have something of value. And that's where the Astros find themselves in a tough spot. So, a Jason Hayward, again, reunion, something like that. Makes sense.
He's a free agent.
Patching
right now.
Holes. Something that does well here to be able to get productivity, if it's not every day. Running, I'm going to say this again for the millionth time. Mauricio Dubon should be playing every single day somewhere. And this is why you have this guy, mm-hmm. right? Because he can go play short when Pena's not playing. Pena comes back. Hey, Big Mo, go play left field because Hosey can't handle it, right? So you go play left field, okay? And then all of a sudden you've got some help in the lineup. Now go get Hayward. Give some guys some balance, right? Then go ahead and let McCormick come back, and he's your fifth guy. And now you're running out Myers and Cam Smith and Hayward and a mix of Dubon. Oh, wait, that sounds familiar. It's not familiar to you? A little bit. Yeah. So not everybody's playing every day, but you know what? The guys that are need to, and you're not giving anything up that you don't want to give up. You need help on the pitching front too, which makes a lot of this easier. And we talked about that, guys coming back to see. They may actually get a couple guys back this year.
It's just at this point, you just need them to come back. When they will come back, who knows? Because if this Astros medical staff, it's just days and weeks and years. It's all savingly.
That's why I asked you they're being honest. Because, you know, like I told, last time I think I was actually in studio, we talked about the medical staff. And if I'm Dana, I'm livid. I'm trying to figure out who's not telling me the truth.
Yeah, because the medical staff keeps on making Dana and Joe look like idiots. And it's not their fault. They're not doctors. You know, because Joe is the most recent one. Joe on Saturday said, yeah, there's no fracture. And then they find out the next day, rib fracture.
Busted. So, awful. You know, how do you go out? And the Alvarez one was botched. That's terrible. Like, we don't have a.
Because they put him back out.
We can't see imaging.
Right. They said like there's too much swelling, which is crap. I talked to a doctor.
But at the same time, we don't think he needs imaging.
Yeah.
But then there's too much swelling to get imaging.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, when the imaging shows up. Let's do the MRI
right away.
Yeah. But you're not helping the situation. Okay. So if we have a bunch of things in Astros land that aren't helping, pitching, depth, when they get here, they break. Not helping. Okay. Yeah. Position player depth. We're light. A little light. Okay. And you get down to the values for trade for pieces that you need, you don't have it. They're giving up something you need anyway. So is Cedric Mullins an upgrade for Jake Myers right now? Right now.
Because I would say no, but I couldn't tell you a damn thing.
Well, let's just say he is.
Okay.
I'm not saying he is or isn't. Let's just say for argument's sake, for right now, you think he's a better player. We all think he's a better player than Jake Myers. Okay? Who I'm still not on the bus. I'm not on the train with Jake Myers. I think it's a regression waiting to happen. Okay. But that said, what he's doing right now is what he's doing. Does Jake Myers better than whoever else your next option is out there right now? Even if Mullins is better than him?
I think so.
Okay, then you don't move him.
Okay.
Because if he's in your top three, then he doesn't get moved. Now, if you're McCormick, you're like, how fast can I get you on a plane? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Where can I send you and how much money?
Please
can
get
I
help me
in with
but,
you.
But right.
Right. You know, you don't have that. And I'm not putting the guy down. I'm just saying to win a championship, you don't have anything else to do it with. So I think it's a free agent sign and platoon.
And hopefully on that front later on when some of these pitchers come back from injury, maybe some of those guys are potential pieces that they could use. Jeremy Booth is our Houston Astros front office insider at ESPN Houston. Tell us about the Future Star Series, futurestarseries.com.
Man, I've been in all over the place, man. I've been in Aruba, I've been in Dominican, I've been in Canada, I've been in the West Coast. It's been a minute since I've been in the studio. We're about a week away from touchdown here in Houston.
Let's go! All
the players are showing up and the teams, and it's an exciting and very fast moving time. Got some guys going to compete for the gold medal with the national team, and got some guys eight alumni in the Futures game that'll be at the All-Star game in Atlanta. So second year in a row with that. So 34 of the top 100 minor league prospects are Future Star Series alumni. So we feel like we're moving a little bit here.
Yeah, man.
And we're excited about it on the way in. That's in calls of the Dominican operations, and the pipeline is coming. So it's a good time to be part of it.
We always appreciate your time here, man, and keep on keeping on. We'll see you. I mean, are you going to be out of the country again? Where are you going next?
I'm bouncing.
Okay. No. All right. Well, we'll see you when we see you.
All right, man.
He is Jeremy Booth. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.